This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
This guy's not Owen. He doesn't look like Owen. He's not even dressed like Owen. At least Owen would have the common sense to put on a suit and tie, for crying out loud. Owen, as you may have known, has been busy. Owen's been sitting in for Alex. Alex is up to his knees, up to his eyeballs in the swamp in D.C. And my name is Matt Dubiel. I have not been in the InfoWars seat since January, since the beginning of the year. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've hit the airwaves via Texas by way of Chicago. And that's where I am. I'm in the suburbs of Chicago. And I own and operate a little radio station out here. And it's interesting. Alex has got a special segment, and we're going to be running that segment about the dangers of some of the decisions that are going to be made here pretty quickly, it seems like. It seems like it's escalated, this thing with Syria. There's a war on with the information with Facebook and Congress. There's a war on in the Middle East, it seems. And there's a war on at home that nobody ever talks about, and I feel like I'm the only one, although I mean, I know the folks at InfoWars bring it up, but if they didn't and I didn't, I don't know that anyone would ever tell you about the real war happening here in the United States. It's happening every day. You know, people get bent out of shape about these mass shootings, and they're really not, they're terrible, don't get me wrong, but they're not as mass as the shootings happening every month in cities, great cities like Chicago, for example. And it's easy for me to talk about Chicago because I'm in the shadows of Chicago. But if I don't talk about Chicago and being in the shadows of Chicago, you're not going to hear about it because nobody talks about last month how there were 60 people shot in Chicago. It wasn't at a school. It wasn't at a post office. Remember when that used to be the thing? Remember in the 90s when it was postal shootings? People were going postal and that was the big deal. Now the place where it happens is our schools. But it seems to be sexy to talk about it because people get riled up about gun issues and the gun debate, both sides, and they get fired up. And it's almost like twisting up one of those little toys where you wind up the back and then you just let it go. You could twist up the right people on the right. You could twist up the people on the left, and you let go, and they just go back and forth, blah, 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 blah. Ban the guns. I'll just ban certain kinds of guns. Put soldiers in the schools. There's a real problem, I think, that's causing that, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit later on. We're ramping up to the special report from Alex about the dangers of World War III, and I'm just here saying I think that World War III is not what we thought it was. Certainly a worldwide war is one of those risks. And Alex is going to get into that in the special report that you got to stick around for. Infowars.com/show. That's where you're going to be able to get that if you're not hearing this on the airwaves. If you're bopping around and you're not sure where to get it, Infowars.com/show. That's where his special report you're going to be able to hear in just the next segment. But I'm here to tell you that there's a war right now, and it's happening in Chicago. It's happening in Baltimore. It's happening in the areas that we all ignore and the media ignores. 60 total shot in Chicago in April. It's 2018. What are people getting shot for? And no, I'm not here to say the answer is to take away the guns, but I really think we should probably focus on the home turf. Don't you? Isn't it time to focus on the home turf before we mix it up in Syria in battles we can't win? Alex is going to give you his perspective on the very dangerous precipice we're on with the president and the Middle East and Assad and Syria coming up next. And then we're going to dive into what's really happening in the schools in America and what the real problem here is here in the United States. Coming up.
gentlemen, we're here outside the White House, and the president has canceled his South American trip, and they're saying they have military options on the table to strike 24 targets inside Syria, including some targets where the Russian military is based. The Russians announced 3 weeks ago they're going to pull out. Trump announced 2 weeks ago that we were going to pull out, and it was a successful defeat of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But a lot of different parties, especially the EU and the globalists and the former Obama-era people in the White House and some of the neocons, they want to keep the U.S. there. They want a wider war. McMaster wanted that as well. The Russians have warned this could trigger, in fact, may trigger, will trigger, a huge new world war. Because if the U.S. bombs Russian forces for the second time, we've already had Russian forces killed last year, they're saying they're going to respond militarily to the ships and the aircraft that fire the cruise missiles and drop the bombs. So you've got British attack ships, missile cruisers, destroyers, and U.S. destroyers in the area with cruise missiles and aircraft saying that they're going to strike within the next 48 hours. That was 24 hours ago. So they've said they're looking at striking the next 48 hours. And Trump says all options are on the table from a chemical attack, but there's no evidence that the Russians or Assad launched, and we've caught the rebels three times doing it. That's come out. Even the UN has admitted that. So it's incredible that the U.S. and Russia are pulling out. It's a big victory against Al-Qaeda. And that doesn't seem to matter because right on time, this new attack takes place. So this is very, very critical time to be alive. It's a very, very dangerous time to be alive, obviously, for all these nice folks here that are visiting the White House today and seeing the cherry blossoms that are coming into bloom. As a father of four children, it really upsets me because I've really been happy with what Trump's done with the economy, with the border, with national security, with standing up to political correctness, standing up to Hollywood, getting us out of the TPP, returning sovereignty back to our own country. But to now have Trump basically manipulated by Mueller and the whole fake Russia investigation to all these new sanctions and moving troops up to the Russian border in Eastern Europe, and all this talk of war and all these sanctions, and when Russia has not done anything to us. It's Hillary in bed with the Russians and the communist Chinese. It's Mueller that's on the Russian boards and delivered the uranium on the tarmac to Russia a decade ago. It's incredible now that they're on to Stormy Daniels that has nothing to do with Russia because that's all they've got, trying to push Trump into firing Mueller because he has nothing. So they want to make it look like Trump is scared of him and hiding something because Mueller came up empty and has now moved on to basically a high-priced hooker 11 years ago. And we didn't elect Trump to be a saint. We elected him to get the job done as a CEO and turn the country around and make America great again. So let me be clear. Our military is on maximum alert right now. They're moving forces into the area. Trump said we're pulling out, saying no to the deep state. And then there's a chemical attack in a rebel-held area when the rebels, repeat, have been caught not once, not twice, but three times staging these. Everybody can put two and two together. So everybody needs to call Congress and the neocons, call the left, call them all that have been calling for war and say, are you people insane? This is not Iraq. This is not Libya. This is not some, you know, tin-horn dictator. This is Russia, who's got a bunch of nuclear weapons and who's not done anything to us and who's helped us take on radical Islam. So that's the reality of what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm here letting the president know that we stand with him and are against a strike. He's already bombed that Russian base with no evidence of the chemical weapons attack coming from there. And the Russians stood down that time. They stood down again when a bunch of Russian contractors got blown up a few months ago. And so this tension is very, very high. And the rhetoric out of Russia is we're prepared to counterstrike. If you strike us, we're going to strike you back. The Kremlin has said that. Putin has said that. If you strike our forces that are trying to pull out, why in the hell would you not want the Russians to pull out of Syria? That's everything the media claims they want, is get out of Syria. So the Russians are trying to pull out, and the leftists and the neocons and the globalists don't want that to happen. The EU also funded the collapse of the Middle East and the Arab Spring to destabilize the border regions of Syria, Turkey, so that 10 million, quote, refugees, most of military-age men, could come in to the country, into Europe, into the EU. And so this is all part of a larger global destabilization program. And I'll assure you, if you see all these young people here, they're not being told about this in school. They don't even probably know how close we are right now. How's it going, guys? Look at these guys right here. They don't know how close we are to war. They don't understand how much danger we're all in and the things that are going on. But the president does. So the president has canceled his trips. He's in there right now with his advisors, and they're telling him, you got to look strong. You got to strike these 24 targets. You got to kill these Russians because we can't let them get out of the country, sir. We got to expand this war and endanger the whole planet. Because after all, Obama and Hillary founded the Arab Spring and ISIS and sent Al-Qaeda in with the Benghazi weapons. And our whole global strategy is failing and America's coming back. So we've got to trick you as fast as possible into a new giant war. And after all, sir, Mueller's on your heels, all this made-up stuff. If you look tough and bomb the Russians, well, that'll really show them. Because no amount of sanctions, no amount of troops on the Russian border, no amount of that will ever prove anything to Mueller unless you have a nuclear war. If you have a big nuclear war, then Mueller, the real president of America, even though he's unelected, he will then be your buddy and love you. And he can go back to meeting the Russians on tarmacs and giving them uranium. So that's the insanity going on. And it's the deep state. It's the swamp. It's the bureaucracy manipulating the president, just like they did John F. Kennedy into the Bay of Pigs, the Cuban Missile Crisis, you name it. This is as bad as the Cuban Missile Crisis. But the Russians aren't in our hemisphere. They're not in Cuba. That had to be done. They are here on our doorstep. That is the globalist manipulating our president against Russia. And we are on their doorstep. We are on the Russian doorstep being manipulated by the globalists. So I've come to the president. And I'm asking all our viewers and all our listeners, everybody that's going to be watching and listening on the radio today, to call Congress, to call Talk Radio, to call C-SPAN, to get a big buzz going, and to call the White House switchboard, and to call Trump Towers around the country, because those messages get to the president as well, and say, listen, we don't want nuclear war with Russia. We want peace with Russia. Russia's Christian now. They're being free market. Compared to the communist Chinese, they're not involved in our business. It's the communist Chinese that have a whole task force threatening us in the South China Sea right now and who are taking over islands and just engaged in very belligerent blockade behavior. The Russians aren't doing any of that, and they worked with our military the last 5 years to try to take out ISIS. And now when they're trying to pull out, the globalists don't want that vacuum there where there's a sovereign country, so they want to destabilize it. It's very, very dangerous. So we've got to stop a potential nuclear war. We've got to stop a potential larger regional war, because if you strike the Russian forces, they're going to counterstrike. Then there'll be counterstrikes on those forces. If those forces start losing, then it goes to larger weapons, and we're off the races. The Russians do have those high-powered Mach 5, Mach 6 missiles, the anti-ship missiles and submarines in the Mediterranean that will end up sinking our ships. And you end up getting sinking ships. Boom. It's World War IV. World War III was the Cold War. This is World War IV, information warfare, the globalists versus nation states. It's the EU allied with radical Islam, with communist China and Hollywood and the globalists and the Vatican against America, against any sovereign nation, against Christians, against the Russians, against the Japanese and the South Koreans. That's the real alliance against the globalists that's dug into our government. So here they are in the White House right now, counting down to potential World War IV, a new world war. And these people out here, I guarantee you, just watch Comedy Central and, think this is all a big joke. This is all extremely serious, ladies and gentlemen. So now inside, let's zoom in on one of those windows. Now inside there right now, the president is sitting around his council table with the generals and others, and he has been bucking, expanding the war. He's been pushing to get us out of there the whole time, something our Pentagon recommended years ago, but Obama wanted to keep going on. And so now they're trying to use this crisis to push him in right as peace was breaking out and right as the economy was coming back and right as all this was happening. This is now unfolding. So we also should be praying to God for peace and for clear-headed thinking and for support for the president, because this is a globalist attack on him. And even if he ends up attacking Russia, they're still going to say he's a Russian agent. He could nuke Russia and kill every person in the country with 1,000 hydrogen bombs. And I swear to God, they'll still say he's a Russian agent, because they're the outsiders. They're the globalists that have hijacked the country. They're the ones that have surrounded us. They're the ones that are the swamp. And so they're the outside enemy. They've got to continue to say that we're the enemy, the patriots, restoring the country, restoring the military, restoring our energy systems, restoring it all. All right, folks, that's my last live transmission from D.C. More coming today. Owen Schroyer and others will be hosting in studio, but there'll be more reports as this unfolds. Can't let peace break out. The swamp is striking back, but the people are striking back. So, folks, spread the word now. Get this video out to everyone you know. We need a chain reaction to try to counter the globalists and this clear false flag chemical attack. The last three were confirmed false flags. This fourth one has the MO, the history, everything. So it's critical to get this false flag exposed and to stop the globalists from trying to trigger a larger war that could lead to World War IV. I'm Alex Jones, reporting from in front of the White House here in Washington, D.C. for Infowars.com and Newswars.com. Now the rest is up to you. Freedom and survival on this planet is not a spectator sport.
From Chicago, this is Matt Dubiel, and I'm filling in for Owen Schweyer, who's been filling in for Alex Jones, who, if you were listening just now, you just heard him. He's literally on the front lines. He's in front of the White House. I want to talk for a minute. We're going to get into the serious stuff, and I know that you have opinions. I know you have thoughts and ideas. I definitely do. As an American, not as an expert, just as a citizen, just as somebody who believes in liberty and believes in this country. And I'm sure you do, too. And if you'd like to get some of those ideas and thoughts out, I want to give you a platform to be able to do that, or at least let you use the platform created by Alex and company to do that. The phone number is 888-201-2244. And if you may have to wait on hold for a little bit, because we got a lot to go through. But we just saw a guy in Alex Jones, and I get a lot of flack when I come on here. I haven't guest hosted or been a guest since January of this year. It's been a couple of months, and it wasn't for any reason except I had some other things that I needed to be focusing on. But whenever I come on and do anything InfoWars oriented, I get an outpouring of really great support on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. I get the follows go up, and I'm not really big on that stuff. But it's nice to connect with other Americans that are somewhat like-minded. We're not going to agree on everything. That's darn near impossible, okay? But the other thing that happens is I am bombarded by naysayers and people who have an idea of who this, if you're watching on Infowars.com/show, you could see the painting of Donald Trump behind me, the president. There are people that criticize him. They think that because they've been told he is a certain way, therefore someone who supports him must be a certain way, therefore I am a certain way. I've also gotten a lot of flack for talking with Alex and talking with other people in the circles of Infowars. And I just want you to think about that for a moment. You know, I'm not asking you to feel sorry for Alex or anybody on the staff or Owen or David Knight or any of the people behind the scenes, but I want you to really think about what goes into creating an environment where these ideas can be shared without shame and without embarrassment and without really real judgment. An open forum for real discussion. That's what's supposed to be the institution of the media. That's what these town halls are supposed to be about. That's what the FCC is supposed to ensure when it comes to radio and television, that there's an opportunity for communities to be represented. And we live in a time right now where you are not allowed to say what you want. You do not have freedom of speech, as is your constitutionally protected right. The Constitution doesn't give you the right to freedom of speech. It recognizes you already have that and says the government does not have the right to infringe upon it. And yet here we are, and your place of business or your employer or your community or the internet forum that you're communicating on or somebody that normally would hire you to do a job, those people are imposing restrictions on you and I based on your ideas and my ideas. Think about the concept of that and how that will play in your life. Think about what would happen if you went into work and told everybody what you really think. Not about them, not about the guy that, you know, leaves the dirty dishes in the sink at the work kitchen or the person that leaves the old lunches in the refrigerator and doesn't clean them out. But if you told them what you really think about the state of affairs in the United States of America, the state of our foreign policy, who our president is and what he stands for, what the media has become and what a joke it is, what Hollywood has devolved into and how it's time for it to be reeled back in. If you shared those things, you might be out of a job, you might lose friends, you might lose marriages, you might lose siblings, you might lose family. And here you have the people here at InfoWars, Alex, on the front lines, with a mic flag and a microphone, and he's out there in front of the White House. Now, it isn't exactly Hollywood in D.C. where it's like la-la left land. But Hollywood isn't exactly friendly to the likes of Alex Jones and Donald Trump. And that man is standing out there trying to get in front of the people that matter there, and get your attention and get in front of more Americans that he can share these ideas with and say, hey, there's a big tent over here. There's a big tent at InfoWars. Come under the big tent. We're going to talk about things. We're going to share ideas, and we're going to talk about our vision for America. And we're not going to judge you for that. And we believe in the Constitution. And we're anti-war. And holy smokes, even though we're pro-Trump, some of us, and not in every way, we're not pro-World War III. And the guy who's been saying Trump is great all this time and sharing with you why he thinks that Trump is great is standing there saying, yeah, I like him. I'm behind him. But I think this is a mistake. And I think that if we do this, we're playing right into their hands. I want you to see this clip of General Wesley Clark. It's number 17. And I want you to understand that these train tracks were laid down well before Obama, well before Trump. And you've got to see General Wesley Clark talking about the global plan to destabilize the Middle East and take down Syria. Here's General Clark.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do."
Can you pause it for a second? Let's pause General Wesley Clark. I want you to keep in mind that this is not Donald Trump saying this. This is not, you know, crazy Alex Jones or wacky Matt Dubiel or Owen or somebody saying this. This is a general, a United States general. And he's telling you about backdoor, behind the scenes conversations, privileged information. And when he tells people about it, what did they do? They laughed. It's not effing funny, man. It's not funny to talk about going to war and then say why, and then he says, "Well, I don't know." It's not a joke. Talk to the families of the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, the Navy, the people that have lost their children in these BS wars that a bunch of chess players have instituted. We're going to play the rest of that clip, but I want you to really think about it. When we come back, this is bigger than Donald Trump. It's bigger than Barack Obama. This happened before Barack Obama was even president. This conversation General Wesley Clark is talking about occurred after 9/11, while W was president. Think about it. This is nothing new. The Syria thing, it's like it keeps coming up. It reminds me of the West Nile virus. Like every year, it's like they keep trying to sneak it past you. Like, okay, when are they finally going to bite on this? We're going to play the rest of this general clip. You're not going to believe what he says. He lays it all out. The plan has been laid. We have to fight that plan. Coming up on The War Room.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. At InfoWars.com/show.
We're going to make America great again, people. Donald Trump's going to bring jobs, and then you're going to have work to do. It's going to be great. Now I'm being shoved and being assaulted here.
I'm Matt Dubiel, in for Owen Schroyer, and I'm happy to help out. I'm delighted to help out and be back talking with people that love this country like you. The phone number to connect today is 888-204-2244, 888-204-2244. I will take your calls. Matthew in Mississippi, we will get to you. David in Colorado, we will get to you. I want to get to this clip, this General Wesley Clark clip. He breaks down exactly what the plan is for Iraq, Syria, and I believe it's a total of seven countries, and this dates back to his story is from around 2001. But the plan is from way before that. Is it a coincidence that some, if not all, of these seven countries, I believe, are the remaining countries that aren't on the banking system. I don't know. But listen to General Wesley Clark break down the plan, and the rest of these people I laughing about it as though it's fiction, as though it's something to be entertained by, and it's really sad.
Saddam to al-Qaeda, he said, no, he says there's nothing new that way. They've just made the decision to go to war with Iraq. He said, I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Okay. for those of you keeping score at home, think about what we've remember Hillary. We came, we saw, he died. That was Libya, right? I get my my sound clips. I'm not as good at this as Alex is. I mean, the guy has got a mental Dewey Decimal System in his head where he just goes through and goes, oh yeah, it was this date, it was this thing that happened. Which of those countries have we already dismantled? And who's next? And how long has this Syria thing been going on? And it's interesting because when we talk about Syria now, which we're talking about this week, we're not talking about little Kim anymore. What happened to Kim Jong-un with the binoculars and the propaganda footage? What happened to Kim? What happened to Iran? And I know Ahmadinejad is no longer but what happened? What happened to those cats? They're not a concern anymore. They're completely off the radar. It reminds me of like the WWE. You know, whoever the heel is, the villain in the storyline currently overshadows all the other previous villains. They all kind of go away. Let's talk with Matthew in Mississippi. Matthew, David. I'm sorry, guys. David in Colorado. David's got some thoughts on the Syria issue. Go ahead, man. You're on InfoWars.
Hey,
you're on the World
Room. Yeah, thank you. Nice to see you on there. It's kind of coincidental, actually, that you're Q101 because, you know, we've all been talking about QAnon recently. And anyone who's kind of dipped their toes into that, they see the posts recently are kind of saying, trust the president, like he's maybe got a strategy that we're not aware of. And one thing to really pay attention to, I think, is that President Trump always said not to telegraph his move, you know, that he's not going to say, we're pulling out of Syria. You know, he was actually making fun of Obama because of that. So I think that maybe he's got another thought in mind.
I hear you. I hear you, David. And thanks for calling. I appreciate your call in Colorado. Yes, I'm wearing a shirt with Q on it. Yes, I did it on purpose and not to promote the alternative rock station that we run here in Chicago. I work for that reason. I know on the socials, on Twitter especially, there are a lot of people out there that are following what they believe is intelligence information or some sort of cloak and dagger-esque information dump from the president or somebody close to the president, and it's from this person on the forums called QAnon. And there's some interesting things about that, and there's some danger there. The danger is that, and maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, David. Maybe maybe the president really does have a grand plan. But to me, there's a problem with this world that we're in, this multidimensional world, where Donald Trump is either a complete bumbling moron or he's Batman and he's a genius and he's 15 steps out, above everybody, in front of everybody. And he's got a contingency plan for everything. People, you got to wake. You're watching too many movies. I'm not saying David is wrong to be thinking about this. I'm not saying the people that are following this QAnon are wrong. But this concept that, and I remember it started with, I think it was Snowden. I was at the one of these freedom summits in, and I was on a panel in Las Vegas. And the topic was, is Snowden a hero or a villain? It's like, well, who says he's a villain or a hero? Maybe he's someplace in between. Maybe he's eating Cheetos until 4 o'clock in the morning and falling asleep with the remote control in his hand, and he doesn't know how to dress himself. But he happens to be a savant when it comes to what he's good at. I don't know. But this concept that the president is either a moron, which is what half the country seems to believe, and I don't believe it's half, I think it's less, but the media is pushing this meme that the guy is a complete bumbling idiot, which that alone you have to dismiss, because you cannot be a success in this country to the level that he's ascended without having and be an idiot. You have to have the ability to put smart people around you and be intelligent. Now, that said, this concept that the president is Batman and Doctor Who and James Bond all rolled up in one is also somewhat ludicrous. So you have to go back to reality and say, all right, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. He's a human being. We know this. He's got more information than he had before, and he is definitely under some duress, whether he's showing it or not. He's got investigations. He's being squeezed every which way. He's got, popular opinion. His family, you name it, is being attacked. And we know there is an agenda to do something with Syria. We know this. So, you could go back and you could look at President Trump's tweets from 2013. And I know a lot of you are retweeting and sharing President Trump's tweets from 2013, where he's taking shots at Obama for what he should or shouldn't do about Syria. And so you might say, well, only an idiot, only a complete moron would say that Obama's doing everything wrong and then do exactly the same stuff when he's president. So Donald must have something up his sleeve. He's playing 7D chess. The guy is, he's in the Batmobile right now, and he already knows what's going to happen. He's talking to the aliens. JFK's on hold, and they're all working it out, and them and the super friends are going to jump in and fix everything. No, man. The hero that you're waiting for, the hero that you think Donald Trump is, you need to be when you vote. The hero that you're waiting for, that you're hoping, are guys like Alex, who are out there trying to get the story and then share it with you. The answer isn't to follow Trump around and follow Alex around all the time. The answer is to do it more yourselves and get us all more informed. I want to talk more Matthew in Mississippi. I know you're waiting on hold, man. 888-201-2244 if you want to talk about Syria. And we're going to talk about the gun issue in schools. Coming up, it's the War Room. Given the phone number out wrong. The phone number, I'm going to take some calls here. I'm Matthew in Mississippi, Joe in Ireland. The phone number is 1-888-201-2244. 1-888-201-2244. And I would like to hear from you. It doesn't have to be on topic. It's better if it does. You'll get on sooner if it's about the topic we're talking about. My name is Matt Dubiel from Chicago. I own and operate WCKG Radio here. You can find me online at mattonair.com, on Twitter, Matt On Air. I'm in for Owen. Owen's in for Alex. Alex is in the swamp, and hopefully they de-leech him when he gets out of there, because like that scene from the movie Stand By Me, you get out of the swamp and you got to check yourself to make sure there's no leeches still stuck to you. It's a seedy, dangerous place over there. Let's talk with Matthew in Mississippi. Matt, what's going on? Gift of God. That's what that name means.
Brother, this is Matthew with Truth, Not Fiction Matters. Got a website, got a YouTube channel just now, got a podcast. And believe me, brother, there are many doing God's work and getting the word out. We are being censored beyond belief. Shout out to Owen Schroyer, big fan. Also to Alex, Mike Kasernovich. But the deal is this. Since the removal and assassination of JFK, trying to remove the Federal Reserve, one world government by the cabal is in full effect. Follow the money, Matt. Lithium, oil, the petrodollar. You're exactly right, and that's what that speech from General Clark, the deeper part of that is. And I don't know your beliefs about QAnon, but believe me, there are a lot of people in the shadows working with the law enforcement, military community, and intelligence, providing information that I can tell you. There's a gentleman that's called in regularly to Mr. Jones by the name of Zach, who is anonymous. Many are in the shadows doing God's good work, trying to save the country that we hold dear, that was started by the founding fathers. And one more thing, Matthew. You're going to see a lot more things happening, trying to get us into a world war conflict. They do not want peace in Korea. They do not want the withdrawal out of Syria or the Middle East. There is a lot at play. Follow the money, sir.
I agree with you, Matthew. Thank you for the call at 1-888-201-2244. That's 888-204-2244. This is the War Room. Matt Dubiel in for Owen Schroyer. You can find me at mattonair.com. And Matt, you bring up great points, Matthew, in Mississippi. And I'm not here to say that QAnon is not real. I'm here to say, I don't know. I'm here to also say that this concept where we vilify those, like everyone's doing to Zuckerberg, okay? Not saying he's a good guy, not saying he's a bad guy, not saying he's perfect, but immediately resorting to it's great to have fun, and yeah, he looks like a robot and so on, but this world that we're creating around us is one of, you're either a villain or a hero. And there are lots of people in between. And in fact, it's very biblical. You look back at the heroes of, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament and stories from the ages. And some of God's favorites, for example, were some of the most flawed men in the history of man. And so all I'm saying with this QAnon stuff is you can't blindly follow somebody or something if it's anonymous and you don't know who it is and you can't validate or verify. You can be optimistic, but be leery of the soap opera that is, oh, this is going to happen, oh, that's going to happen, because what it becomes is a gossip circle. Matthew in Mississippi, to me, is absolutely right. You follow the money. When you follow the money, you're going to find all sorts of things. I do want to play that General Wesley Clark clip again. It's number 17. I want people to really let it sink in here. This is post 2001. This general is talking about, and credit to Adam Curry and John Dvorak, John C. Dvorak of No Agenda. I was introduced to this clip by listening to their No Agenda podcast years and years ago. Okay. And it is one of those things where you have to talk about red pilling somebody. You share them, show them this clip. This is not this isn't Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity or El Rushbo or somebody pretending to know something and saying that they know something. This is General Wesley Clark, okay? And he's telling you what happened. Now, I suppose he could be full of it, but if you believe that everything about him has been admirable and he's been honorable up until then, he's telling you what happened and what he found out and what the plan was before and what it was during. And now here we are almost 20 years later, and this is the plan. Listen to General Clark.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me in. He said, "Sir, you got a come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second. I said, well, you're too busy. He said, no. He says, we've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq. This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, we're going to war with Iraq. Why? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess they don't know what else to do. So I said, well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda? He said, no. He says, there's nothing new that way. They've just made the decision to go to war with Iraq. He said, I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. So I came back to see him a few weeks later. And by that time, we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with
They're
Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya,
just late.
Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
They're just late. It just took longer. It just took longer than expected. I mean, just think about that. You find that clip. They'll put it up. It'll be in the replay of the show at Infowars.com. Play it. Send it to your friends. Send it to your family. Think about that. Iraq, Syria, Libya, Sudan. And maybe that when they post it, they could put the nations in the text of the post, because I mean, just let it play out in your mind. Just think about what he's saying right there. This stuff has been set into motion. Why? And the next thing is like Matthew in Mississippi was saying, follow the money. Why those places? What is so good or so bad about those specific countries? Why do they have to be taken over? Why do they have to be brought down? To spread some freedom? It's not our job to spread freedom. In fact, if you talk to most of us libertarians, we got work to do here at home, man. The roads are like the surface of the moon. We've got schools where you've got shooting problems in schools. You've got bullying problems in schools. You got opioid problems in schools. You got the fact that they're really not teaching that much in the school as a problem. These are problems right here at ground zero. Los Estados Unidos, we have the problems. Joe in Ireland, I want to talk to you in the next segment here. Joe wants to talk about migration in Europe. We got an immigration problem here in the United States. It's very similar. There's plenty of things here to focus on. In fact, Joe in Ireland, we can take you real quick. You got to make it quick. We got about a minute. You got 30 seconds. I know you've been on hold for a while. What do you want to say about migration in Europe?
I'm just saying it's hey, thanks for having me on. I'm just saying it's coming to America. It seems I'm an American abroad, and what Merkel did was wrong, and what you're seeing happening over here, it's going to happen in America. It seems like when the Obama administration was in, they accepted globalization from Europe, and I tell you what, keep your Second Amendment because we have no guns over here. You need to protect yourself. It's bad over here. And if America, if you lose that Second Amendment, you're not going to get it back without a civil war.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. You watch yourself in Ireland, okay? Be safe. We're going to talk about that Second Amendment. We're going to talk about the immigration issue. We're going to talk about the thing that we're the best at manufacturing here in the United States. It's really the root of all of our problems, and it's not what you think. We'll talk about that next. It's The War Room. Matt Dubiel in for Owen Schroyer from Chicago. Infowars.com/show.
This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
It's Matt Dubiel in for Owen Schroyer. My name is Matt Dubiel from Chicago. You can reach me around the world, mattonair.com, mattonair2t.com. I've already gotten some emails. You know, I get a lot of flack when I when I come in InfoWars, so it's nice to hear from people. It's nice to see that the Twitter, you know, followers go up or whatever. I can connect with people there. We're taking your calls, too, as I sit in. I got another hour in the war room for Owen, as Owen is sitting in for Alex. And Alex is up to his eyeballs in the swamp in Washington, D.C. And we played the special report. You can check it out at InfoWars.com. Alex reporting from in front of the White House, and I know he's going to be doing more of that on Facebook Live or on Periscope or wherever you follow him. So a word of caution to our POTUS, you know, you can still support the president and not support the concept of getting into a war, a false flag inspired war, perhaps a proxy war, perhaps a just it's a pile of garbage that has been laid down well before this administration and the previous administration. The phone number to call in with your thoughts and ideas and opinions about this and anything is 888, toll free, 888-201-2244. That's the number to the war room, 888-201-2244. I will be taking some calls this hour. Gabe and Matt in Denver, I know you've been hanging on, so stay with me. Gabe has a theory, and I want to let you. I want you to let you talk and explain this, your theory, this Parkland theory. But I want everyone to keep in mind that these national events and even these international events are a lot of times not. I know they're important. I'm not trying to say that national events aren't important. Okay, so don't misconstrue this. But the real things that everyone like you can get involved in, you and I, are the things in our backyard. And they're not as sexy. Local government, for instance, in Chicago here, we got two billionaires running for governor. Okay, that's because no normal, regular people have the cojones to go for it. So we have a race of the billionaires. Nothing wrong with billionaires. I know the president is a billionaire, but they're two not very good candidates. So the more that we sit home and play on the internet and hypothesize and pretend and almost live action role play of what we think the theory is on this and what we think the theory is on that, the less we're actually doing. So just be careful with the theories and stuff because it can be dangerous. That said, Gabe, in California, boy, California, what? That's a whole nother topic. What's what do you want to say about Parkland? Gabe. Gabe going once, Gabe going twice. All right, Gabe. Thanks anyway. And that's okay, because really, I'm sure Gabe is a great person. I'm sure that he's been thinking about it. I'm sure that everybody has a free, you know, is free to have your theory and your hypothesis. But if you sit there and you think about game theory all day long and you don't do anything and you never talk to people and you never share your thoughts and you never build a list of people that are like-minded that you can email or send a newsletter to or meet up with or whatever it is, and you never take any action, things are never going to change. It's going to be the same story over and over and over again. Is that what you want? Because we can all sit here and talk about it. I would encourage you to start taking some action. Some of you may not know what action to take. Well, what can I do? I don't know. Start a YouTube channel. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe it's not your thing. Okay, fine. Share the Wesley Clark video with people. Let them know. And people that want it, you know, people that are asking for it, not just like you're trying to sell them Amway or something like that. More calls, and we're going to talk about Second Amendment and the thing the United States is best at manufacturing. We used to make things. We don't make things anymore, except for this. We're the best at it, and it's causing many, many problems. We're going to talk about it next in the War Room. It's Matt Dubiel from Chicago, broadcasting from The it changes. So I was going to say the murder capital of the United States, but it changes. I think we go neck and neck with Baltimore sometimes, but there's a war on here in the United States, right in our backyard. There's plenty to do. We don't have to go across the ocean. We can fight some of those battles right here at home and fix things for many, many Americans. I want to talk about the thing that we're manufacturing here in the United States better than anybody else. I'm excited to be sitting in for this next hour for Owen Schroyer, who has been sitting in for Alex while Alex Jones has been in Washington, D.C. And if you haven't seen the report that we aired last hour from Alex in front of the White House, you're going to want to check that out at Infowars.com or follow him on either Twitter or Facebook. But we're going to talk about the number one byproduct in Chicago. I got to do a quick plug. All of this stuff, the staff, the equipment, the technology, the bandwidth, the satellites, everything that makes InfoWars what it is. I don't know what you would do, what we would do without it. You're certainly not going to get this kind of information from any place else. It's all funded pretty much, with the exception of a few advertisers here and there, by the products and things in the InfoWars store. So there's some specials going on. A 4-week food kit, Alpha Power, and I'm going to really focus on Alpha Power here. It's one of the newest and most popular products yet and is finally back in stock, and the price is being dropped by 25% to help you experience what a true alpha male feels like. Don't miss out. Get your bottle of Alpha Power today before it's gone. There's some other specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Cellforce, 50% off. And of course, BrainForce is always there, and BrainForce might, I think it's still the number one bestseller. I'm out of the BrainForce, which is why, I could, you know, I'm pounding coffee here, but the idea behind BrainForce is you don't have to jam a bunch of caffeine. You take some BrainForce and it will help you. Infowars.com, or InfowarsStore.com rather, to get your deals and discounts, 25% off Alpha Power today. All right. So a couple of things going on here in the United States. And, you know, when I'm thinking about this gun issue, in fact, let's go to Steve in Virginia, West Virginia. Steve wants to say something about gun control. I'll let you fire off, and then I'll kind of go where I'm going with this.
Yeah, ahead, I think Steve. I think it's more about survival, Matt, than it is taking on guns. You know, these big cities, it seems like it's the ones that don't want guns and all this, but what they don't realize is us out here in the country is what provides everything in those cities. What are they going to do when they don't have electric in them cities and their shelves are bare? How are they going to survive it? How are they going to stay warm? How are they going to feed themselves? I think what they're trying to do is just level the playing field for everybody.
You know, you bring up some really good points, Steve, and I want to go into that for a second, and I may screw up the movie reference here, but there is a movie, and it might be The Time Machine. It's also a book, and in the book, in the movie, you should rent it or look for it on Netflix. But there are two in the future. There are two societies, and one society are the Eloi. And the Eloi are all very thin, blonde hair, blue-eyed people, and their clothes are white, and they live in this utopia where they just wake up and they do whatever they want. They kind of seem like millennials now I'm thinking about it. And they walk to the tables, and the meals are just waiting for them. There's fresh fruit, and it's just sitting there. And the Eloi don't have to do anything to get the food. It's just there for them. Much like it is when you go to the grocery store, you go to Publix or you go to Whole Foods or you go to whatever grocery store. It's just there. Walmart, you go to Sam's Club or Costco. It's all laid out on the shelf for you, nice and easy. And then there's another subset in this future in the time machine, and those are the Morlocks. And the Morlocks have to forage and cultivate their own food and hunt. In fact, what happens is the Morlocks, I believe, if memory serves, Morlocks go underground, and they live underground because they're too scary for the Eloi. And they operate when the Eloi aren't looking. And they're the ones that grow all the food for the Eloi, and they set it out. And then they trap and kill the Eloi. Now, I'm not suggesting that the people in the country or the people with guns should be trapping the people in the city, but think about how it relates to the world we live in today, where you go to the store and everything's laid out for you. You don't have to hunt. You don't have to find your food. You don't have to kill your food. You don't have to prepare your food. Hell, you could get like Blue Apron or something. They'll just send the food already made for you, and it comes to your door. So you're absolutely right, Steve. Steve's in West Virginia. He's saying the people in the city don't understand. Most people, not even in the city. You take the suburbs. You take even the outskirts, the rural areas where they're still going to Walmart or Sam's Club or wherever it is to get their food. They don't think it's really that much of a possibility that at some point, be it war, EMP, a natural disaster, whatever it is, they're going to have to fend for themselves, protect themselves, get their own food. And that becomes the argument for gun control, is we end up talking about, and thanks for the call, Steve. I'm going to cut you loose because we got more calls coming in, and I really appreciate it. When people talk about gun control in the Second Amendment, they start talking about our ability to hunt. And here's the bottom line. And this is what our guy from, I think it was Joe from Ireland was getting at, is the reason why we have the Second Amendment, it's not for hunting. And nobody wants to say this really, because they don't want to sound like a gun nut. They don't want to sound like a doomsday prepper or a lunatic or someone that's going to start a militia or something. But the reality is our founding fathers made sure to outline that the government could not infringe upon our right to bear arms, to keep and bear arms, because they knew that it was that one thing that allowed them to separate from the king and the queen in Europe when we became our own country. If it was not for our ability to keep and bear arms, we never could have fought to protect our freedom in the new land. If it wasn't for our right and ability to keep and bear arms and the protections under the Constitution, we could not have fought in the subsequent wars. You think the military was just handing out rifles? No, it was BYOR. Bring your own rifle. Bring your own musket. And that's how it will be in the future if we ever have to keep the government in check, or we ever have to, as a the government ever has to call upon citizens to mobilize with the armed forces. That's the real reason why every household should have a firearm, and they should be trained to properly use it and be trained to keep it and safely keep it and use it appropriately. That's why these specific kind of guns that they work to outlaw, that they miscategorize all the time, are vital. You need more than a handgun. You need more than a handgun to protect your family and your land. What happens if more than one person is coming to harm you and your family? You think that the police are going to get there? You think that blue stake that's in your front yard in rural America that has the GPS is going to get the police there quick enough? In some, you know, group of gang or some gangland sort of a situation, when the gangs take over the cities and then they have to move out of the cities into areas where they have more resources? That's what it's for. But all we do in the United States is focus on manufacturing our number one export. I'm going to talk about exactly what that is, why it's dangerous, and how we fix that. We fix darn near all our problems in the United States. It's Matt Dubiel from Chicago, in for Owen Schroyer. This is The War Room, Infowars.com/show. It's The War Room. My name is Matt Dubiel, in for Owen Schroyer, and Owen is in for Alex Jones. And Lots of action at InfoWars in Austin. Lots of action at with InfoWars in Washington, D.C. And your best place to go for that is going to be InfoWars.com. If you're looking to talk and you want to have a conversation, I'm going to be here until for the next 40 minutes. And the phone number to the West Texas Command Center is 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. That's how you get through to the War Room. And if you want to find me, it's online, mattonair.com, and on Twitter, at mattonair. So let's talk with Thomas in Wisconsin. So before we go to Thomas, I just want to share one of the things that I've been kind of talking about this last hour and 20 minutes or so is being a spectator. It's time to be more than a spectator. Okay. I have four kids. My kids, the little ones especially, they want to watch other people play Minecraft on YouTube. They want to watch, other kids play and open toys on YouTube. There's a big phenomenon in Asia where people will watch other people eat food. And they'll watch it on YouTube or whatever their version of YouTube is. And there's this it's a cult of spectating, okay? And there's nothing wrong with sort of doing it a little bit. And of course, you're free to do whatever you want in this country. It's a free country for now. My suggestion would be not to spectate as much and to actually get out there and do. When my kids say, well, I want to watch so-and-so play Minecraft, I go like, well, first off, if we're going to be in front of a screen, at least you should be the one playing Minecraft and building a mod. If not, well, let's go outside. Let's go and throw a football. Let's go for a walk. Let's go get your BB gun. Let's go do something. Let's ride a bike. Let's throw a ball. Let's bounce it. Let's do something physical. We're only here for so long. Let's enjoy it. Spectating is not the answer. So that's why I want to talk to Thomas first. Thomas is in Wisconsin. And Thomas, you're putting together a rally. What's happening up there?
Hey, yeah, we're putting together a rally. There should be one in all the 50 states. I don't know if there's one down in Illinois there, but we have quite a bit of participation from the states. I know I saw Minnesota, Georgia, West Virginia. I can't remember all the rest.
What's the rally for? What are you putting together the rally for?
For the Second Amendment. It's a pro Second Amendment rally. We're trying to get people involved and, trying to get people involved in exercising their rights to bear arms and, explaining to the community that it's everybody's right. It's, rifles aren't to be feared. Guns aren't to be feared as long as you know how to use them properly. I mean, a chainsaw is scary if you don't know how to use a chainsaw.
Okay, so Thomas, for people that are in Wisconsin, where is the rally? When is it? What do they need to do to be a part of it?
All you need to do is show up at 1 p.m. at 2 East Main Street on the King Street side of the Capitol in Madison, Wisconsin.
When? Today? Tomorrow? Tomorrow?
On Saturday. Saturday the 14th. That's Saturday the 14th, 1 p.m. on the King Street side of 2 East Main Street, the Capitol building.
How can people contact you and to find out more information?
You can contact me at Thomas Leaguer on Facebook. Also, I run a page called The Freeman Report. That's probably the best way. Or my email, which is just Thomas_Leager@yahoo.com.
All right. Keep it up, Thomas. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. More people got to do stuff like that. It's like you said, there's 50 states.
There is, it's not easy to do, you know, it's not easy to organize people, but there are some key things that you need to have in order to do that properly. Okay. So you need to know, you need to have the basics of the information ready to go. You got to get those out there. You got to put them up on go get a free website, get a Facebook page, you get a Twitter. It doesn't matter. Just pick something that is very easy that you can give out to people and tell them that one place to go where you've got the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why. Okay. First, you start with the why, because they got to care before they care when it is and how it is and all that stuff. So the why is the most important thing. So if you're going to organize something, start with the why, but make sure you have the who, what, where, and when posted someplace with an easy name that somebody can go to easily on the internet. Because you can't give out a long email address. I want to give Thomas credit, okay? But you got to have that information together, because it's going to be hard enough for you to try and put something together. You're going to have people naysaying. You're going to have people taking shots at you. You're going to have enough hurdles. You got to eliminate all the hurdles you can by making it easy for people to get involved. Okay. So the way to do that is to get the who, what, where, when, and why, and really drive home the why for people. That's what's going to hit them. That's what's going to get them emotionally involved. The number one thing we manufacture here in the United States, in our schools, on our television, we used to make things like steel. We used to make things like airplanes and cars and technology and televisions. The number one thing we make today is fear. We manufacture it in our schools. We have, so-called mass shootings in the school where a dozen or a couple of dozen people are either injured or shot. Meanwhile, in Chicago, last month, 60 people were shot. Nobody's talking about that. Why is that? Well, it's not sexy. It doesn't speak to their narrative. It doesn't speak to getting you motivated to be afraid. So we have schools that manufacture the fear. You used to get shot at the post office. That was the dangerous place where people went nuts and brought in a gun. Now it's our schools. So what happens when you wind up everybody about the Second Amendment and gun control? The right starts saying, no, we need guns. We need guns. Second Amendment, Second Amendment. The left starts saying, well, we got to eliminate at least some kind of gun. And we have to ban bump stocks. And we have to, this little thing. We got to turn the water up. You're the frog in the boiling pot of water. We just got to keep turning it up till eventually we can ease our way into getting rid of the guns. That's what they're hoping for. And then the right will go, okay, well, let's get creative. We should have ex-military. We should have veterans in the schools. We should have teachers maybe with guns. There's a better solution than all that stuff, if you really think about it. And no one is discussing it. And I'm not surprised. This never gets talked about. I shouldn't say never. I would imagine that every now and then David Knight talks about it. I think he does. I think that before this last election cycle, I think Alex might have been talking about it here and there, because I think that he was actually doing it. There's a solution to the bullying, the school shootings, the opioid crisis, and the suicide and depression rates. I'm going to talk about the solution to those problems. Could change the country as we know it. And that's coming up next in the War Room. If you want to listen online, go to Infowars.com/show. 34-hour broadcast tomorrow starts at 8 a.m. A marathon broadcast. I'll tell you more about it coming up.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone.
And if you're watching the War Room at Infowars.com/show, you're looking and you're going, that dude is not Owen, and he's definitely not Roger Stone. And no, I'm not. My name is Matt, and I am Matt Dubiel from WCKG in Chicago, filling in for the War Room until 5 o'clock. And Owen is filling in for Alex. Who comes in at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6. You guys let me know. Tomorrow, there is an emergency live 34-hour broadcast starting at 8 a.m.
Alex and everybody involved will be participating in an epic 34-hour broadcast, The New World War. Stop the New World War. It's an emergency broadcast starting tomorrow at 8 a.m. and running for 34 hours. This will give Chunk over at, what do they call that thing that he does? The TYT, the Young Turks, plenty to be jealous of. A 34-hour emergency broadcast, Stop the New World War. This is an opportunity for you to call in, participate, share the links, and wake up some people that you know and love about the concept of not going to war with a country that we shouldn't be going to war with. So 34-hour live broadcast starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow with David Knight and The Real News. So we're talking about the number one product that America now makes. We used to make some of the best things. We used to make appliances. We used to make vehicles. We used to make all sorts of just phenomenal things. And we lost our manufacturing. In fact, what we really did was we traded it. And now what we manufacture better than anybody in the world is fear. The four-letter word that controls the masses, fear. We manufacture it on the news. We manufacture it in our schools. And it's to the point where they have active shooter drills at our schools where we raise our children. Think about that. Your kid, if you're not letting your kid watch the news, and why would you? My kids don't watch the news. So there's really no way for them to know about the fear that should be or could be associated with an active shooter drill. So what do? They teach it to them. They teach them the fear at school. So even if most of the schools are never going to have an active shooter, most, if not all of the schools are having active shooter drills. So they're manufacturing the fear. They're instilling it. They're ingraining it in the students one by one by one. They're afraid. The minute there's a school shooting like Parkland or Aurora, I mean, any of the shootings, any of the mass shootings, the first thing that we start talking about now that it seems to be the trend that they're happening on school campuses, gun-free zones, is the debate for gun control. And this is a pattern. This is a loop. This is a loop that everyone participates in. You can see it when it starts and you can just watch it. It's a loop. Like if you watch Westworld on HBO, these robots in Westworld, they all have their own loops. When you play Candy Crush, that's a loop. When you play any video game, they're programmed loops to take you around and around and around. And the left will say, we got to get rid of guns. We got to do something about the Second Amendment, the NRA, they're NRA. Rah, 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 rah. And then the right will say, no, Second Amendment, Second Amendment, Second Amendment, hunting, hunting, hunting. They never say it has nothing to do with hunting. That's just like a side effect. Really, it's to keep the government in check. It's to protect yourselves. And now the right will say, well, maybe we should have some people with guns in schools and guards and all that sort of stuff. But I want you to think about the real problem here. The kids at school are watching CNN student news. A lot of you don't know this. There's a special news product created and distributed and broadcast to the schools in America. And middle school children are watching CNN student news. Homemade, just piped in propaganda that you never know what's on it because the parents don't see it. And they're showing it to them in history class, or they don't have a civics class. The children are learning about active shooter drills at school. Now schools are gun-free zones. The left says the solution is to get rid of the guns. The right says the solutions are to put the guns in school. I'd suggest perhaps, and no one really is talking about this, but if you look at the school, the institution of the school, there's the threat of the shootings, there's bullying, to the point where they're having speakers come in and talk to you about bullying and bullying and, oh, we got to stop bullying. Opioid, suicide, depression. The institution of the school is actually causing more problems. Nobody's really talking about maybe We should stop taking children from all walks of life. Children from the city, children from the country, children from the ghetto, children from the high rises, children from the suburbs, children raised by first generation immigrants, illegal immigrants, citizens, third generation, fourth generation citizens. All put them all in one school. And then try and teach them all the same way. It's the school system that's really gotten out of control. Why don't we change the school system? Why do we still send kids to school? If you're taking classes on the internet to get your degree, if you're taking classes on the internet or you're doing virtual classes and virtual games and virtual conferencing, why do you need to go to a school where you're going to get bullied to the point where you get depressed? Look at the suicide and depression rates at these schools in America. The schools in America are a problem. The school system in America is a problem. And the upside just isn't there anymore. They don't teach them how to make their own food. They don't teach them how to generate income. They don't teach them how to start a business. They don't teach them how to build a house. They don't teach them how to do anything that they can actually use in their life. Except become dependent on a system that requires them to go to another level of school. Why are so many kids in our school system taking opioids? Why are so many kids succumbing to bullying? Why are so many kids committing suicide? They're sitting in a school. We know from research that the school, that the teenagers, for example, really shouldn't get up until like 10 o'clock in the morning. Their bodies just need the amount of rest. They're not at their best. We make them get up at the crack of dawn or before the crack of dawn. We send them to school sometimes with no breakfast or a little bit of breakfast because their body is just still adjusting to the day. They're just trying to figure it out. They just woke up. They got to hurry up and get to school. Then because of the amount of kids and the corralling of them in the school, sometimes they're eating lunch. Their lunch period is at 9 or 10 or, 10:30 in the morning. They're out of sorts. We're taking them out of their elements. And then we're wondering why they're getting so screwed up that they got to be on SSRIs and other mood and altering drugs. They're both of their parents sometimes are working. So school is really daycare. So their parents both can go to work. And then you wonder why they're soulless and vacant and depressed. Or they're being bullied, or they're bullying somebody. Guns aren't the problem. Drugs, schools, information, the fear-mongering has become the problem. What's the suicide rate among kids that are homeschooled? How many kids that are homeschooled are victims of mass shootings? I want to talk about immigration coming up. Our caller from Ireland got me thinking a little bit about how we're treating American citizens one way and illegal aliens another. And it's setting up a weird pattern here in the United States. It's the War Room. My name is Matt Dubiel, in for Owen Schroyer. Infowars.com/show. We'll talk immigration in the United States next. It's the War Room. My name is Matt Dubiel, in for Owen Schroyer. Owen is in for Alex, and Alex is in Washington, D.C. Lots going on at InfoWars. Lots happening. Tomorrow at 8 a.m. begins the 34-hour emergency broadcast that you're going to need to be a part of, you're going to want to be a part of. It's 34 hours, starting with David Knight, of course, and The Real News. This is the Stop the New World War emergency broadcast. starts tomorrow at 8 a.m. with coverage wall-to-wall for 34 hours straight. The rest of the War Room at 5 o'clock today is going to be hosted by Jake Lloyd from Team InfoWars. He will be there in Texas in the studio. And my name is Matt Dubiel. I own and operate a radio station here in Chicago, WCKG. And if you want to find me, follow me, or any of that sort of stuff, you can do that at Twitter, at Matt On Air and MattOnAir.com. I want to talk about, we're talking about fear, and the United States is the greatest at producing and manufacturing and broadcasting and indoctrinating the population with fear. It's interesting because it seems to mostly apply to us. Like, the fear is manufactured and broadcast to us, by us. And a lot of people don't know this, and I'm, again, not as good at, it would help if I took some Brain Force, and you can get Brain Force at InfoWarsStore.com. It really does help. I haven't had enough coffee. When you take the Brain Force, you don't necessarily need to be dependent on coffee. One of the reasons why, besides being just brilliant, Alex can rattle off dates and numbers of bills and things like that. But just within the last few years, I'm pretty certain that the United States made it legal for the United States to propagandize its own population. And up until then, up until this new law and this new bill was passed, it was illegal for the United States to propagandize its own citizens. It's interesting that if you look at the timeline, if we put it on a timeline and you look to where that happened and you look at the rise of fake news, or as Facebook likes to call it in their marketing materials, false news, that it sort of coincides with the rise of not only hysteria in the United States, but this sort of split in dimensions where it seems clear that, you know, some of us are living in a different world completely and see things through like a completely different lens altogether. Almost like when you're on the internet, for instance, and you see certain banner ads on a website, but I go to that same webpage and I see different banner ads on the same website. It seems like the propagandizing of American citizens by America has some correlation between the oddities that have been happening in our information system here. So let's correlate that to this concept of immigration, illegal immigration, illegal aliens, immigrants. I am like second or third generation American born. So obviously, my previous generations came here from other places, Italy, Poland. They came here the right way. They became citizens. They came to Ellis Island. They got registered. They become naturalized, the whole bit, right? There's a weird thing happening in the United States where there is a group of people in one of these dimensions that somehow believes that it's okay for American citizens to be treated like dog crap and not be protected by our Bill of Rights and the membership privileges in the United States. But then, for some reason, people that came here illegally, not people that came here legally, people that snuck in or broke the law to get into the country are then treated in a lot of ways better than the people that are citizens. And the best way that I can put it, the way that makes it seem completely like wackadoo to me, is if you think of it like Sam's Club, for example. Would Sam's Club, and I've asked this to the people that think that we should be treating the illegal immigrants, you know, like give them health care and let them vote and let them treat them like citizens. So they get treated like real citizens. Meanwhile, the real citizens get treated like dirt, like third class citizens. I don't understand that. It would be as if Sam's Club said, okay, you can pay $100 a year to become a member. And when you get inside, you get to get all these cool things at Sam's Club. You get to buy, you know, gallons of cheese and jungle gyms and all the sorts of stuff that we have at Sam's Club. And it costs you $100 to be a member. And these are the rules for the members. But we're just going to let non-members come in. And we're going to let them dirty the bathrooms. We're going to let them knock things off the aisles. And we're going to let them make it a bad experience for you, the member. Oh, and by the way, the money that you paid, we're using to pay to clean up the mess that they made. Does that sound right to you? I can't imagine that the people that live in the dimension where they think that the illegal immigrants should be treated like citizens would allow that in the business that they owned and run. It would be like if you own a restaurant and you charge me, but you give free food to the guy that snuck over the border from Mexico. And he dirties your restaurant. Why would you do that? Why would you treat, why is it somehow becoming okay that we allow the citizens of the United States, the members of the club? Our ancestors started this club. They didn't like the other club. They didn't like the membership rules from the other club in Europe. They said, you know what? We don't like the rules. So we're going to make new rules. Oh, and by the way, because we kept our guns and we have our guns, we can form our own military and we can say to you, we don't want to follow your rules anymore. And so we're going to break off and we're going to start our own club. We're going to call it George's Club. George Washington's Club. We're going to start George's Club over here, the United States. And we're going to make our rules and bylaws, and we're going to stick to those. But you're not in a position to do that now. We've had the rules. They've been established. And now somebody is saying, our elected officials are doing it. They're saying, well, we're going to treat these people that snuck into the border and swam in and were dropped in and God knows how they got here. They broke the law to get here. We're going to treat them not only like citizens, we're actually going to treat them better than citizens. We're going to get them special programs. We're going to give them access to medication. We're going to let them try and let them vote and influence other things, the rules of the club that they're not members of. Why in the world would we stand for that? And furthermore, why would we continue to elect people to the Senate and to the Congress that would allow that? But you see, what we end up doing is we get so wrapped up in things like QAnon or what the president is doing on this issue or what Colbert is saying, all the national stuff that is largely a distraction, and we don't focus on the real local stuff. I mean, for example, Arizona, you got to focus on getting somebody into the Senate seat that McCain is in, and you got to make sure that it's a patriot. It doesn't really matter, you know, what they think about certain specific, they just got to be a patriot. Like, they have to believe in the Constitution. We can disagree on stuff, but they got to believe in the fundamental Bill of Rights and the Constitution. They got to be ready to uphold it and not just be wanting to, like, ascend politically and write books and go on speaking tours. Illinois, you got to get rid of Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth and Quigley in Congress and all these other people that are just clearly working toward an agenda that does not serve we the people. Why should we be treated like we're not members of the club that our ancestors fought and bled for? We pay for it. We follow the rules. They should too. And if they don't, you got to vote the bums out. Up next, Jake Lloyd is going to take home the rest of the War Room from the studios at InfoWars Central in Austin, Texas. My name is Matt Dubiel from Chicago. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing these links. InfoWars.com/show. Tomorrow begins the 34-hour marathon broadcast. It's an emergency. Details at InfoWars.com. Have a great week.
future. You must fight for it. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room, everybody. My name is Jake Lloyd, your host, filling in for the rest of this third hour, taking the place of Owen Schroyer until he returns to The War Room here. In just a second, we're going to a clip, a report from John Bowne entitled California Senator Pushes Orwellian Legislation. We will be right back after that and then a brief commercial break.
California Senator Richard Pan may be batshit crazy. After basically copying and pasting a proposed taxpayer-funded, lobbyist-controlled Politburo reminiscent of the Chi-Com social credit system into the California Senate. As Business Insider reported, the Chinese state is setting up a vast ranking system that will monitor the behavior of its enormous population and rank them all based on their social credit. At the moment, the system is piecemeal. Some are run by city councils. Others are scored by private tech platforms which hold personal data. Sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it? Like private credit scores, a person's social score can move up and down depending on their behavior. The exact methodology is a secret, but examples of infractions include bad driving, smoking in non-smoking zones, buying too many video games, and posting fake news online. Senator Pan's bill would require the plan to include, among other things, a plan to mitigate the spread of false information through news stories, the utilization of fact checkers to verify news stories, providing outreach to social media users, and placing a warning on a news story containing false information. Who is California State Senator Richard Pan? As legendary investigative journalist John Rappaport explained,
well, he has a track record of certainly representing pharmaceutical interests, and now he's gone a step further, a big step, in introducing this new bill in California, Senate Bill 1424, which is all about the internet and what you have to do if you have any sort of internet-based operation in California, which he defines as social media. But when you read through the bill, you begin to see that he's talking about any sort of communication, really, over the internet, whether it's a website or a blog, or it's a even an email, I mean, which is completely preposterous.
Completely.
I see him, in a way, as the leader of test runs, because this is frequently how programs, totalitarian programs, are enacted.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try this bill, and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how much public protest there is. Let's see how many senators want to vote for it. And the ones who don't, what would they vote for? All of the usual kinds of analysis that would accompany introducing a bill like this, even not particularly expecting it to pass the first time around.
Right.
Just to get a grip on the reaction to it. Okay, mm-hmm. Now we have a report on what happened to Senator Pan's bill. Let's really dig into this and let's see how we can strengthen this position the second time around, when we introduce a new piece of legislation that is somewhat different in wording, contains some of the same abuses, you know, and let's see how far we can make that one fly.
This representative democracy is a total crapshoot when it comes to who is minding the store, a store that is being looted and set on fire. John Bowne reporting for Infowars.com.
That was the ever excellent John Bowne featuring John Rappaport talking about some really, really big news that's going on right now. We'll be right back after another break. Thanks again to Matt Dubiel, who was filling in for Owen Schroyer for the first 2 hours. Once again, my name is Jake Lloyd. We'll be right back with The War Room. Stay with us. Welcome back. My name is Jake Lloyd. I'm filling in for the rest of this third hour of the War Room today on Wednesday, April. What is today? April 13th? I don't know. April 11th. I was 2 days off, 2 days ahead. I live in the future always. That's where I stay. So today we're going to be talking about more about Syria. I'm really tired about talking. I'm really tired of talking about Syria, but it's kind of, potential World War III conflict. It's kind of important. It's kind of important to talk about it, even though it might be a little bit belabored at this point. But I want to take a step back to Syria pre-Donald Trump so that maybe we could understand the falsehoods that are being spewed about Syria now, because we have a lot of nonsense coming out of the media and out of the deep state. In the next segment, I'm going to try to take at least a call or two. So if you want to call in, please call the number 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. We're going to be talking about Syria. I want to stay on the topic of Syria and the Middle Eastern political landscape as far as calls go in the next segment, because that's primarily what we're going to be talking about. We're going to have Matt Bracken on later talking about that, not just about Syria, but other stuff as well. So Syria, the Syrian conflict dates back several years to around 2011, 2012. It intersects a lot with the rise of ISIS and the destabilization of the Middle East. Oddly enough, it has some temporal intersection with Libya, the destabilization of Libya at the hands of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But back then, it was a different story. We heard a lot about chemical attacks as well. Back then, it was sarin nerve gas. It was sarin nerve gas that had Obama wanting to intervene in Syria in 2014. We heard all about the sarin nerve gas, and then all of a sudden, we didn't hear about the sarin nerve gas too much anymore because there was a lot of public pressure not to go into Syria. The American public was pretty tired of years and years and years of war in the Middle East. I could have repeated years about 15 more times because that's about how many years we have been over there. We're still over there right now. The conflict in Iraq wrapped up probably about 2011 to 13 is when it kind of was winding down. Now Iraq is for the most part not a very crazy place to be. Not, don't get me wrong, it's not Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but it's not quite as dangerous as it used to be. Afghanistan was winding down. It's fairly wound down at this point, but Americans are pretty tired of the seemingly endless war. We've been in the Middle East for the majority of my life. The majority of my life, we've been at war in the Middle East. I grew up with Iraq and Afghanistan being kind of ever present in the consciousness of my generation throughout elementary school, middle school, high school. I joined the Army after high school because of that, because of the fact that it was so ever present in the forefront of our minds. So Americans were not happy with the idea of more war in the Middle East. So Obama took Syria. He didn't want to, because he drew a red line in the sand. He drew a red line in the sand saying, Syria, you better not use chemical weapons. Because if you use chemical weapons, America's coming for you. We're going to put boots on the ground. We're going to bomb you. We are coming in hot. And then Syria allegedly used chemical weapons, and Obama realized that America wasn't happy. And he goes, actually, I would totally do something, but I have to ask Congress legally. I would totally do something, but I have to ask Congress. So it's kind of out of my hands. So Obama took it to Congress, and of course, Congress said no. So Obama used that as an out. He used it as a way to get out of his commitments. He's not big on the commitments, but so we didn't go into Syria. But that wasn't the end of it, because, I mean, there was, of course, more, there's pressure and sanctions. This was right around the time that the whole Crimea thing was happening with Russia moving into Ukrainian territory, taking over Crimea. That was a whole big issue as well. The deep state wanted us to get involved there. Also, in hindsight, there was a big push. I mean, not necessarily in hindsight. I knew it back then, too. But really, there was a big push for war back then, especially with Russia. The deep state has been pushing for a Russian-American proxy war for quite a long time now, since we got out of the Cold War. They've really been pressing with the resurgence and the preeminence of Russia in Eastern Europe and the Middle East. The deep state has really, really been pressing for a proxy war, because that's what it would be in Syria. That's what it would be if we were backing Saudi Arabia and Russia was backing Iran and they went to war. I've did a report on the Middle Eastern arms race, because Iran is eventually going to have nuclear weapons under the Obama era Iran deal. If Trump gets out of it, they've threatened to restart it. So regardless, Iran wants to build nuclear weapons, just depends on when, not necessarily if. And Saudi Arabia says that they're going to, they said, we don't necessarily want nuclear weapons, but if Iran has them, we're going to have them too. And as part of the crown prince's potential reforms, I hesitate to use the word reform. We don't really know if they're reforming or just changing. They're definitely reforming their economy. They want to move to a more diverse economy. They want to be the social and cultural and economic epicenter of the Middle East. So they do want nuclear power. They do want nuclear power over there. However, they don't have any. They don't have anybody with experience to do it for them. So they need the U.S. to back them up. But if that's the case, we'd effectively be subsidizing a Middle Eastern arms race between two Islamic sponsors of terror, two Islamic State sponsors of terrorism. So we have the Iran-backed, or the Russia-backed Iran with nuclear weapons, and we have the U.S., potentially U.S.-backed Saudis with nuclear weapons, and each of these superpowers are world global powers, at least with Russia, are pumping money into and resources into these sponsors of radical terrorism, trying to give them nuclear warheads. And it's a dangerous thing if we decide not to, because then they'll turn to Russia just like Egypt has, because Egypt is in the same boat. They don't have someone to run and operate their nuclear power plants. So they said, hey, Russia, do you mind helping us out with this and coming in and running it for us? And Russia's like, of course, we would love to have a foothold in the Middle East, a nuclear foothold in the Middle East to counter NATO in Eastern Europe. We would love that. Thank you, Egypt. We'd love to help you. And Russia, I'm sure if we refuse to help Saudi Arabia, Russia would love to be of assistance to Saudi Arabia in building nukes. Why wouldn't they? So now Russia would have Iran as well as Saudi Arabia, two potential nuclear powers in the Middle East, and the United States has Israel. We're stuck with no allies in the Middle East except for Israel. Now, Israel's an interesting case because they don't really want, they don't have a vested interest in getting rid of the Syrian conflict. They're happy to have a buffer between themselves and ISIS and the other radicals. They're happy to have, if the Islamic nations around them aren't going to come to peace with them, they are happy to have them in chaos. They have been known to target Iranian installations or entities within the Syrian region, and Russia has kind of turned away. Russia has agreed with Israel that they would not allow Iran to come after the Golan Heights territory that Israel's occupying. And in return, Israel did not, they did not join in on a UN resolution to sanction Russia after the Crimea incident. It's a big mess. It's a big web of nonsense. And I think that we should just get out of it because, I mean, these are all the connections that are going on right now. We have U.S. and Russia vying for political and nuclear power in the Middle East. We have Israel playing both sides of the conflict. We have all these states in chaos. There's a Sunni and Shia conflict going on. It's a big mess. I think that America gets out. It's not strategically sound for America to be involved in Middle Eastern politics whatsoever. We'll be right back. My name is Jake Lloyd. This is The War Room. Stay with us.
You know, if I...
You're watching The War Room. My name is Jake Lloyd, filling in for Owen Schroyer. We had Matt Dubiel hosting the first 2 hours, and I will be taking over for the next 40 minutes, roughly. Last segment, to recap, we talked about how much of a mess, to say the least. It's not quite a strong enough word, but we're on, you know, we're bound by FCC regulations about words you can say on the air. It's a serious mess in the Middle East right now. World War One was started because of obscene foreign entanglements within Europe. It was a relatively minor, insignificant act originally for a Serbian nationalist to assassinate the Archduke of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. But because of the alliances and defense pacts and treaties tying all these European nations together, it pulled the entire world into war. And we're seeing a similar situation now in the Middle East, because the U.S. backs certain Middle Eastern countries like Israel and Saudi Arabia, among a couple others we're semi-friendly with, whereas Russia backs Iran, Syria, Egypt. So we're all vying for power between America and Russia. Europe doesn't care quite so much about the Middle East. I think it's wise. So the Russians and the Americans are both vying for power and influence within the Middle East, whereas the Middle East has its own entanglements. There's the Sunni and Shia dynamic that needs to be examined. There's the nuclear arms race. There's all these things. And the difference between World War One and now is that it took the assassination of an archduke. However, in Syria, all that it will take to potentially pull the entire world into war is the accidental killing of a Russian soldier as collateral damage in a U.S. airstrike. That's all it'll take. It doesn't take the assassination of a world leader. It just takes the accidental killing of one Russian soldier. And even if that happens, it may not lead to war, but that's all that it would really take. So we're going to go to callers now. Let's go to Hank in Texas. He wants to talk about the reason for being in Syria. Hank, go ahead. Okay, looks like Hank hung up. Looks like we don't have Hank anymore. Maybe the deep state got to him. So let's go now to Danny in Canada. Wants to talk about, will Trump start this war? I don't know. That's a good question. What do you think, Danny?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me, Jake?
I can hear you.
I just had like a big thing of static there again. Seems like every time I call in to the War Room or InfoWars there, just before you answer my call, I get like a big thing of static.
That's pretty interesting. I wouldn't know anything about that, but you want to talk about, will Trump start this war? What do you think? Do you think that he will, or do you think that this is just optics, or what do you think?
Actually, I was going to get your opinion, and, you know, I've been all for Trump ever since, like, way back, but this really seems like it's taking the cake. Like, man, if he's going to do this, then, you know, I'm off the Trump train. What do you think, Jake?
Well, I agree. Thank you, Danny, for your call. I appreciate it. I agree. If Trump goes to war in Syria, if we put ground troops, that kind of does it for me, because that's one of the major reasons that we elected Trump, was to not get embroiled in another pointless war. So that kind of does it for me, especially on that issue. I'm not going to turn completely against him, because it would not be pragmatic to. He's still a bulwark against what some of the other things going on. So it would really, really damage my view of him. It would damage his reelection potential, because he'd be a lot weaker in 2020. It would weaken us in 2018. So it would not do well for the base's vision of him. I mean, I would be off the Trump train as far as like totally supporting him, but I think we could still pragmatically use him for good things. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a Trump supporter in that regard anymore, but we have to be careful about being quick to hop off the Trump train. A lot of people just instantly went to burning their MAGA hats and stuff. Those people are losers, because this is a replay of what happened last year. Of course, it's different. It is different. There's more of a dynamic. He's being more he's being more boisterous about his response, tweeting about, no, we will retaliate. However, the fact that it hasn't happened yet says something, because it gives Russia time to get out of the areas where we might be bombing. It says that Syria, the news has been saying that Syria, according to U.S. officials, Syria is moving some of its assets out of certain areas. So it's kind of as if we've given them a heads up on certain things and said, move out of this area. We might be attacking. And it could be another nothing strike like we saw last year when we were in a similar situation, just as a symbolic move, like saying, yeah, we, you know, slapped you on the wrist. Don't do chemical attacks. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Don't do them. It could also be something people need to think about. It could also be just a tough stand and have talks with North Korea, because apparently we will be engaging in secret interactions with North Korea discussing peace, denuclearization, etc. Trump is still set to meet with Kim Jong-un eventually. So it's the same thing as what Trump did before, last year. He was meeting with the leader of China when that happened. The Chinese president was down the hall sleeping when Trump ordered the missile strike that hit Syria. So it's very much, it could be a display of power. I'm not going to say that that's all that it is. I'm not going to say that's all that it could be. It could be really bad. We could be in a serious war. But we have to look at things from all different angles. So let's go to Javier in Florida, Syria. No proof we should attack them. I agree. There's no proof. Do you think that we will attack them, Javier? Or do you think that this is just just optics taking a stand against possible chemical attacks?
I'm hoping that this is just like optics and that we're just taking a tough stance, because we don't need to really be over there. There's nothing over there for us. And like I said, like I was telling the girl when she answered my call, I was like, there's not even proof that anything happened over there. I read an article on Twitter today from Russia TV, RT, and they were saying that doctors claim that they've spoken to people that were held hostage in Duma, and there's no evidence of anybody being poisoned with any chemical gases. So, I mean, I hope we don't go to this. We don't need this right now.
Yeah, there's zero evidence. Thank you, Javier. I appreciate it. There's zero evidence of any chemical attacks. We don't have any verification. If we could get some verification, I wouldn't trust the UN's verification on this, but that's how we have done things in the past. If the UN verified that this happened, or something else, somebody else verified it, I would be a little bit quicker. But Russia denies it. Syria denies it. Everybody in the region says this did not happen. It was done by somebody else. It's a false flag to pull the US into another Middle Eastern war. So I don't know. It's kind of scary, but there's no evidence. All we have right now is the white helmets, which are, you know, first responders in the area pulling people out of rubble and stuff. But they're very closely linked with terrorist organizations in the region, Syrian rebels attacking the Assad government. We can't trust them.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Jake Lloyd. For the rest of this segment, we've had some great callers discussing some very interesting, very, very monumental stuff about Syria right now, about the current state of world affairs. Everything is once again tied up in the Middle East, as it has been for who knows how long. We've been doing this for millennia now. I want to thank you, though. We're about to be joined by Matt Bracken here momentarily. I want to thank you for all of your support and ask for your continued support at InfoWarsStore.com. We're able to do these broadcasts because of your support, buying our high-quality products. You get a good thing in return, and we get support to do these things. We're doing a 34-hour broadcast tomorrow called Stop the New World Order broadcast. We have some excellent specials going on right now. For example, Survival Shield X2, this may be your last chance to get it. I love Survival Shield. It's excellent. It's a great way to prevent iodine deficiencies, which are rampant in the United States and the Western world. It supports thyroid health, etc. It's just good for you. It's just good. It helps pull toxins out. It's 25% off right now. It's normally $39.95. It is $29.95 right now. So that is 25% off. You save $10. If you put it on auto ship, it's even better. You get it for $26.96 for each product. If you put it on auto ship, it's good. And you might want to do that. You can decide how often you want it delivered. You might want to do that. You might want to get the last of our possible supply. We might be able to get it back eventually, but as of right now, we might not have it for much longer. So please take advantage of it. Please tune in to Infowars.com/show for the 34-hour live broadcast. Tune in here and there throughout your workday, on your way to work, however you want to do it. Just stay tuned for some hard-hitting information. We're going to be talking more about Syria. We're going to be talking about Facebook and the advent of AI. We're going to be talking about a plethora of stuff. It is an exciting time to be alive. It's a frightening time to be alive, but thrilling indeed. So now we're going to go to Matt Brack, and I want to thank him for joining us. He's going to be our guest for the rest of this hour. And Mr. Brack, I wanted to ask you, we've been talking a lot about Syria for this past 30 minutes or so. I wanted to ask your opinion on that in a moment, but for now, I want to get your opinion on Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. He's reforming the government. It's a reformation of sorts, but I want to get your opinion on how you think that he's going to actually affect the world affairs, the world interaction with Saudi Arabia. Do you think that it's going to be for better or for worse, or do you think that this is just kind of a false attempt at or a false display of moderation of Islam?
Well, there's really no way to reform or moderate Islam because it comes straight from the Quran. All you can do is have autocratic leaders that occasionally act in a more secular manner. But loosening up in Saudi Arabia, I think, is obviously, well, he had a coup against his own royal family, locked up, you know, hundreds of people and took them out of the picture, which is not making him popular. But what I think is happening is he's gearing up for the big act, the big play, which is coming soon. You know, the gas attack, which if it even happened or if it was a false flag, that's not the real game that's at play here. You know, the real game is an alliance between Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states plus Israel. That's the Sunnis plus Israel plus the USA versus Russia and Iran and the Shia world, including Assad and the Alawites and the Shias, who at the Syrian end, it's more secular, obviously, than it is in Iran, but they are allied. And the real matter here is the Saudis, the Gulf states, and us. They want to put a natural gas pipeline that basically runs north south to Turkey, then to Europe, and it would go straight through Syria. At the same time, the Russians and the Iranians want to control all of the real estate from Iran east-west going to the Mediterranean, where the Russians have deep water naval ports. So the Russians have always wanted the deep, you know, the warm water ports, the ice-free warm water ports. An alliance with Iran gives them ports now on the Mediterranean. Well, they have their own Syrian agreement, but they now have ports in the Mediterranean and in the Indian Ocean, Iran. But this is a huge conflict. I mean, whoever controls Syria is going to either be able to block Iran and Russia from their east-west military highway and, you know, rail links, or alternatively, they'll be able, the other guys, Russia and Iran, will be able to block Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states from putting in their natural gas pipeline. So it's like a crisscross, and that's the conflict. What we're being sold about the gas attack is just propaganda for the masses to get us stirred up to go back in and fight again. But I'm old enough to have remembered this going back. I was a kid, but I mean, the Gulf of Tonkin incident in 64 was used as a pretext to get America involved in a land war in Vietnam. The first Persian Gulf War, the so-called weapons of mass destruction, we were guaranteed, all the intelligence agencies, you know, were positive. And in that same war, we had the Kuwaiti ambassador to Washington's daughter go on TV, I think on 60 Minutes even, crying about the babies being thrown out of their incubators. She was in Washington the whole time. It was pure propaganda. You know, this is how they rile us up for war. That's why InfoWars is so important, because, you know, even on, for example, Fox News, they're a little bit hesitant about calling this a false flag operation. Sort of the patriotic war drum beats and you have to salute and get in line. Tucker Carlson notably is not getting in line, but most of them are. They just are saying, you know, darn it, that Assad, he's so horrible, he's a madman, he's gassing his own people, which makes absolutely no sense. But at the bigger level, you mentioned earlier World War I, and it really does seem like the big empire forces are coming to a clash here. And notably, Russia and Iran, China in the background is going to consolidate Asia when this all breaks loose. And then the Gulf states and Saudi Arabia and America with their natural gas pipeline to Europe. They both can't exist in the same place. One or the other alliance is going to control Syria and control either the gas pipeline, which won't be built, or the military highway for Russia and Iran, which won't be built. That's why we're in the situation of supporting Sunni Islamic terrorists who are, as long as they are in a presence in Syria, will prevent Assad and the Russians from building that highway. That's why we're in the terrible situation of pretending that al-Nusra and the Free Syrian Army are not just sheep-dipped ISIS, which is really what they are, the white helmets, etc. And going through, you know, recent history with Islamic war, we've seen false flags before, and not only in Syria, where I think Mattis has admitted that last year's so-called gas attack that led to the Tomahawk launches, there was no proof that it was done by Assad. We launched missiles based on no proof. I hope we don't go to world war based on a false flag operation. But it seems like the forces are just coming together like, you know, the tectonic plates getting ready to throw up a new mountain range or some kind of giant earthquake. You mentioned earlier World War I and Archduke Ferdinand. The assassination plot had actually failed. And the assassin had quit for the day, was sitting in a bar, and the Archduke's motorcade made a wrong turn and drove right in front of his outdoor cafe bar. And the assassin was able to jump up with a pistol and shoot him. It was meant to happen. These forces were just going to happen. And I think that's what we're seeing in the Middle East now. We don't know what the spark is going to be, but I think it's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
Absolutely prophetic, Matt Bracken. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You touched briefly on Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the United States. I want to ask you a specific question. You couldn't have taken it to a better place, exactly where I wanted to go. This is The War Room. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't.
Welcome back to The War Room. My name is Jake Lloyd, your host for the rest of this hour. I am joined by Matt Bracken. We're going to go back to him momentarily. An excellent breakdown in the last segment of the powers. He described what's happening over there as akin to tectonic plates shifting closer and closer together, grinding with increasing friction, eventually, potentially, springing up a new mountain range or an earthquake or something along those lines. That's an excellent breakdown. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com so that we can continue with these shows, these excellent shows, and have on excellent guests like Matt Bracken. Please tune in tomorrow to the 34-hour broadcast. We're also able to do those broadcasts, those marathon broadcasts, because of your support. And because of your support, we will eventually have 24-hour broadcasting that's all around the clock because of your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Please check us out. We have some excellent specials. So Matt Bracken, that was an excellent, like I said, an excellent breakdown and a summarization of what's going on, what the real motivation behind the Syrian conflict is. And I wanted to zero in because you really went to the place that I wanted to take that in the last segment. But I wanted to zero in on the new alliance that's kind of springing up between, like you said, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, America and Israel, because we have Saudi Arabia in search of White House support during these purges going on within the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's government. And in return, Israel wants Saudi Arabia to push Palestine to peace talks. We see Saudi Arabia attended a conference with Israel there while Palestine was not, which is practically unheard of. Most Arab states will not attend a conference with Israel if Palestine isn't there. Do you think that this alliance will see a paradigm shift of relations within the Middle East, or do you think that it'll be more of the same with just a slightly different dynamic?
I think that Saudi Arabia's overtures to Israel, as well as King Salman's overtures to Trump, with Trump going there and the king coming here, this is part of a big diplomatic shuffle and reordering. And the negotiations, the trade-offs are, I think that Trump believes that we can't be overtly allied with Saudi Arabia while they have such a horrific human rights record, particularly in regards to how they treat women, you know, which is basically harsh Sharia, Quranic Islam. But, you know, it's really all about who controls the cameras and the news feed. If the same network cameras put brave reporters into Yemen, they would see what is a human rights violation, a definition of genocide, which is a blockade, a starvation blockade against civilians. So Arab wonderful allies, the Saudis, the now liberal Saudis, are doing a starvation blockade. You know, the war is already going on between the Saudis and Iran, because the Yemen is an ally of Iran, or at least the Houthi areas. But putting a starvation blockade on civilians, as long as there's no cameras, we don't care. You know, it's like Somalia. They're starving. The cameras arrive. It becomes an issue. So, yeah, I think that it's part of a trade-off. And what it warns me is that Trump is gearing up, and Israel and America are gearing up to go to war with alongside the Gulf states and Saudi Arabia versus Russia and Iran. And these are big stakes. These are very big stakes at play. You know, huge. And I wanted to mention also, this popped into my head over the break. I watched the very first question out of the gate at Sarah Huckabee Sanders' press conference, 4 o'clock Eastern today. First question. I was, as they say, gobsmacked. First question out of the gate by Fox reporter, I think he's John Roberts, was about the white helmets. And was the gas attack a false flag attack? Now, this just shocked me because I would never have expected this from a Fox reporter. I don't know if he was off the reservation or if this is now okay to talk about at Fox, since their main guy, their 9 o'clock guy, Tucker Carlson, he's been talking about a possibly not a real event, this gas attack, going to war on false pretenses. Now, John Roberts put it on the table. First question. Of course, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she said, oh, no, our intel people are really sure it was a gas attack. But we heard that before Iraq won with Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. We heard it last year with the gas attack that Mattis says there's no proof. So over and over again, we've had the intel community lie to us for political reasons. You know, the impetus is towards war. And the intel we're fed is just propaganda designed to stir us up and motivate us to go to war.
But right. And like, to play off of what you said about the alliance between the Gulf states, America and Israel now, Tucker asked, I believe he was a representative. He said, what interest does the United States have in going into Syria? Why would we do this? And I don't even really remember the rest of the response, because it started out with, well, if you care about Israel, dot, dot, dot. So it's this push, this concerted push, because of the alliances we have, not so much because of any actual American interest. There's no pragmatic strategy to have America involved in the no reasonable pragmatic strategy. Of course, there's actual reasons like you broke down with the oil and gas pipelines going through.
Yeah. In Great Britain in the 19th century, they used to call it the Great Game, you know, which was playing off the Russians versus the, you know, the Ottoman Empire, et cetera. And Britain would come in and out depending on their own national interests, primarily trade interests, and, you know, keeping India, which then included East and West Pakistan, keeping that in the empire. But today, the Great Game, I think, is, you know, the natural gas pipeline running north-south through Syria versus the Russia-Iran axis, super military highway running from the Mediterranean to Iran. These are big, you know, you could say it's our national interest to not allow that military highway, you know, weapons and soldiers, everything else going back and forth from the Mediterranean, you know, giving Iran essentially a seaport on the Mediterranean with Russian ships there to make sure we don't attack it, lest we go to world war with Russia. So, yeah, you could make that argument. I just wish it was an honest argument. I just wish we weren't being stampeded into, you know, potentially World War III on false pretenses. And I have to give credit to Alex Jones and InfoWars. I have no doubt that John Roberts' question today at the press conference about the al-Nusra white helmet false flag, that question never would have ever come up if it wasn't for InfoWars. And it shows the impact that InfoWars is having. It is definitely having an impact.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's true. We do push the Overton window in that direction, I believe. The next, and that's phenomenal. I didn't even, I wasn't even aware that question was asked. That's very hopeful to hear that.
She slapped it down, rudely, but John Roberts put it on the table on, you know, all networks.
Which is excellent.
Most people
have never heard of the white helmets. Right. Well, most people haven't. That's the thing. And the people that have definitely haven't heard of their connections to the Syrian rebels and other terrorist groups in the region that go by other names but are effectively Al-Qaeda in Syria.
Right.
One of the topics that I've been fairly interested in looking into is, as you've heard, Iran is threatening to restart their nuclear program as if they're not secretly moving forward with it already. And Saudi Arabia says if Iran develops nuclear weapons, then Saudi Arabia will too. How do you feel do you feel like that will be accelerated by the current Syrian conflict if that escalates? Or do you think, I guess my question is, what do you think is the future of an arms race of sorts in the Middle East?
Well, on the outside, there's a timeline, which is, you know, the intel and agencies all making their best estimates about when will Iran test a nuke, a deliverable nuke? They already have missiles that can hit all the European capitals, or most of them, maybe not Britain. But they can already hit, you know, Italy, et cetera, Germany. So when they can put a nuke on it, that's the big game changer. And there might be a calculation that as dangerous as a war is now with Iran in Syria and their, you know, Russian proxy overlords, that somehow we can crush Assad's military ambitions, keep our Islamist Sunni terrorists under some kind of control, where the Saudis will vouch for them and be able to build their gas pipeline north-south through Syria, and we'll be able to stymie that Russian military highway east-west. So there might be a calculation, as bad and dangerous as this is to go to war now, trying to avoid war with Russia, it's better than waiting for Iran to get nukes.
Absolutely. Very, very fascinating, Mr. Matt Bracken. We greatly appreciate your input, as always. You can find him at enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. Please do. Thank you for joining us. My name is Jake Lloyd. This has been the War Room. Tune in tomorrow.